We are in Luke once again tonight, Luke chapter number 10, verse 38 through 42. We'll try to finish up what we began this morning. Luke 38, 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. The propositional statement that we began with this morning, that we're trying to look at in this passage of Scripture, is the priority of the Word of God in the life of a child of God. And trying to see that the essential and undeniable fact that a child of God must feed and must nourish themselves on the Word of God. It is God's Word to us and His teachings for us. And so there must be a priority put in our lives as a child of God on the Word of God. So that's where we began, and so we'll read the text again and we'll review just a bit and then we'll move on to points 2 and 3. Verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered," distracted is what we said that word meant, "distracted about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we once again open your word to Luke 10, and we ask that as you helped us this morning, that you'd help us again tonight. You speak to our hearts through your word, that we would see you, we would see ourselves, we would glorify you, and we would abase ourselves. And God, that you would speak to us from your word tonight. And God, that you'd open our hearts and minds to receive your word, and we would see those things applied to our hearts and our lives. We love you and we thank you for what you'll do for us tonight. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake, amen. The theme that we touched on this morning was doing. The 70 came back excited about what they were able to do. And Jesus says they should not rejoice in their doing, but rejoice in the fact that their names are written down in heaven through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The lawyer comes to Jesus and asks the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus once again emphasizes that eternal life is in not what you do, but what is done for you by Christ. And finally, we come to this text that we looked at this morning and we'll look at again tonight, where Martha is upset with Mary that she is not doing. And Jesus, a final time, does not support the doing, but magnifies the listening. And we said it was a primary importance that we listen to God through His Word. Christ is not physically here for us to sit at His feet physically and hear His words as He speaks, but Christ still speaks, God still speaks through His Word and by His Spirit through His Word. And so we began to look at this passage of Scripture, and we began with point number one this morning, just looking at the description of Martha. And we said that the Word of God here seems to magnify two characteristics that are clear about Martha here in the text. Number one, she is distracted. Christ is at her home. She has opened her home to Christ, yet with getting the arrangements together for the meal for Christ, she has missed out on sitting at His feet and hearing Him teach. And so we talked about this morning how easy it is in my life and your life to let good things become bad things. And I just want to reiterate tonight, the text is not trying to teach us that Martha was the bad person and Mary was the good person. They both love the Lord. They both have received Christ, and Christ loves them. But Martha has become distracted and let a good thing, cooking a meal for Christ was a good thing, yet it became a bad thing when it took the place of her hearing the Word of God. And how easy it is for us not to do bad things, but for us to allow good things, important things, helpful things, become bad things when they hinder us or prevent us from hearing God's Word. And so that's where we were talking this morning. And then we talked about her not only being distracted, but her being disgruntled. She becomes upset with her sister who's not doing, but sitting. And then she goes to the Lord and she asks Him if He doesn't care. And then she begins to order Jesus around by telling Jesus that He should be telling her to help Him. And we said how often it is that we take the Word of God and we twist it to make it say that which will justify us instead of that which would convict us. And here we see that Martha is more about getting Jesus to do her will than she was about doing the Lord's will. And so she becomes disgruntled with her sister and even with the Lord. And what we said this morning was, the more we're away from the Word of God, the more we will become, the less we are in tune with God, the less we will be in tune with our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. And we ended with this. I don't want you to think that I'm fussing, because I give you all kinds of things that were going on in churches and in our church. But I just want you to see, and I just want you to be aware how easy that is to happen. We let a good thing become a bad thing because it hinders us from hearing and reading the Word of God. And somebody came up after the service and said, "Ouch, that was tough." And I told him this, it hurts me before I give it to you and it hurts you. I'm in a little bit different situation than you are. Each church service, I'm preaching. Yet I have to have preaching too. I have to hear the Word of God preached too. And so my week is involved in reading and listening to men that I trust will handle the Word of God correctly. And throughout the week, I'm listening to preaching as well. And for me to let things come in the way of that would be wrong as well. Amen? It is important that the priority of our lives is on reading and hearing the Word of God. And we said this morning that nothing should come before that priority in our lives. And so to move beyond that negative aspect, let's move on to see the devotion of Mary tonight. She is the second movement here that we want to look at. She is silent in the movement. But she is there, and we want to turn our attention to her. Mary is Martha's sister, and she is not helping Martha prepare the dinner. And again, I want you to understand that Martha's not the bad person and Mary the good person, but one is distracted and one is devoted. And that's the contrast here. Now let's notice two things about Mary. Number one, notice her position. Where is she? She's not in the kitchen. Where is she? She's at the feet of Jesus. She is sitting at the feet of Christ. Now, I do want to remind you that it was unheard of in biblical days for a rabbi to allow a woman to sit at his feet. Women were normally regulated to the kitchen, to some obscure place away from the front. Matter of fact, the Jewish mindset was that it would be better to burn the Torah than to hand it over to a woman. But Christ comes to break down those barriers, amen? Christ wants all to come to Him and to learn of Him. And here is Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and it is a physical symbol. It's a physical reality, but it symbolizes the posture of her heart toward Christ. She has turned from everything else so that she sits at His feet. And if she's sitting at His feet, she's not in the kitchen. If she's sitting at His feet listening to Him, she's not helping her sister. Say amen. She is symbolizing for us in sitting at the feet of Christ that her heart is in a position or a posture of submission and expectation. She has submitted herself to her Lord, and she expects from His lips the words of God. Now, one old theologian commented that Mary made a seat that Jesus was in a pulpit. The humble place that she took at His feet was her pew, and the whole house was a chapel in which the mercy of God was proclaimed, a sanctuary where God Himself drew near to the sinful heart of a person by grace. What a wonderful place Mary chose to be, at the feet of Jesus. So we see her position. And then I want to see her priority. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and what does Luke tell us she's doing? She's hearing Christ. The word hearing there, the word heard, means that she gave all her attention to Him. Her focus is on Jesus Christ. She's listening to Him. Not just listening physically, but listening spiritually to what He has to say. Her full attention is on Jesus. In contrast with her sister, who was distracted by her serving. And I want to say here that we need to look at Martha, but we need to learn from Mary. Mary is the pattern that we are to follow. Look at Martha, learn from Mary. The spirit of a servant of God is always to be the spirit that listens to the voice of God. Now let me say that again. The spirit of a servant of Christ is always to be a spirit that listens to the voice of God. Jesus said this, "My sheep hear My voice. They know Me and they follow Me." One of the distinguishing evidences that we belong to Christ is that we listen to His voice. We are to listen for it, and we are to listen to it. What does that mean? That means you have to actually open your Bible and listen for His Word and listen to it. You come to church and you listen for His Word and you listen to it. That is what Christians do. That's what Christ-centered believers do. And notice that what distinguishes her as a disciple of Christ is not her activity. but her posture of sitting at the feet of Christ, listening to His voice. And most of the time we get that backwards. We think that we can tell who's a Christian and who's not by their activity. What are they doing? Instead of their submission and their willingness and their desire to sit at the feet of Christ and hear Him. Hear His word read, hear His word faithfully preached. And the question for each of us tonight is, do we desire to hear His word? The devotion of Mary. Her position sitting at the feet of Christ and her priority. Now, let's look at the disclosure of Jesus, because He does speak. And I said this morning that whether Martha is right or Mary is right is not for us to decide, but Jesus will decide that. Amen? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Now you understand that when Jesus says Mary chose the right, that also meant, although it's not said, Martha, you chose the wrong. One thing is needful, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, I want you to notice what I noticed here, the tone of Christ. He does not sharply rebuke Martha. He does not give Martha back what she gave Him. I mean, if it would have been me, I mean, Martha comes to you and says, don't you care? What would you say? Yeah, I care. Do you have any sense? But He doesn't do that. Notice that in His response, He's kind. He's tender. He's sweet. And I just observed that that's the way our Savior speaks to His children. His children who fail Him often, who deserve harsh and sharp rebuke. We deserve sharp and harsh rebuke, yet Jesus gives us patient, loving, sensitive responses. I'm glad He's sensitive, I'm glad He's loving, I'm glad He's tender. And He seems to be saying to Martha, to me, He seems to be saying this, Martha, I know what you were doing, I know why you were doing it, and I love you for it. And I'm grateful that you would want to do this for me. But Martha, you allowed yourself to get caught up in activity instead of getting caught up in me. And that's a problem, isn't it? Not only was it a problem for Martha, it's a problem for us. Now let me just move forward here just a bit and look at the correction that Christ makes. As I said this morning, the issue of correction that Christ makes here is not correcting her activity, but correcting her attitude. Nothing wrong with her activity. She wasn't doing anything wrong. It was her attitude that was the problem. And to bring this into a vernacular where we may better understand it, you can have a great work ethic. You can be the best at your particular position as you can be. Yet if you have a poor attitude, you won't last long. No matter how good you are, if your attitude is poor, you'll lose your job. Attitude is important. Matter of fact, I would say this, you can become useless despite your activities with your attitude. So here's Martha, she's sulking with her over her sister. She's dissatisfied with Christ. And this is what I thought. Martha was sure. She was pretty clear about what she felt Jesus wanted and what she felt Jesus needed. Jesus comes in after a little journey. She says, I think Jesus needs some food. I think Jesus wants some food. I'm going to give Jesus some food. So she's pretty clear that what she felt Jesus needed and what she felt Jesus wanted, she was going to supply it. But she was wrong. She knew, she just felt she knew what Jesus loved, but she was wrong. And Jesus tells her here that, Martha, your priorities are wrong. Nothing wrong with what you did, it's just your priorities are messed up. The meal's fine, but the meal can wait. Are you with me? He says here, in essence, that she has made an inferior choice. Listen, you cooked instead of listening. You cooked instead of sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it was a terrible choice. Bad choice. And here's why it's a bad choice. The meal that was cooked by Martha, I'm sure, was wonderful. But tomorrow it will be gone. The words of God are lasting and will never go away. The words of God are permanent helps. They're deep helps. Where the meal is only a temporary satisfaction. The meal tastes great, but after it's gone, it no longer helps. But the words that come out of the mouth of Christ help forever. Martha, you have chosen the temporal and that which fades over the permanent and that which lasts. It's a bad choice. People make the same bad choice over and over and over again, even though they heard the clear teaching of this passage this morning. You see, Martha thought she knew what Jesus wanted, but what Jesus really wanted, what Jesus really desired, was her company, her fellowship, her communion, not her activity. What Jesus desired from Martha was not a meal, but was her. Jesus wanted her to sit at His feet and hear Him and adore Him and worship Him and glorify Him, not what she could do. And can I say this? The reality of the fact is, if you're going to serve God, you got to listen to Him first. Dinner can wait because Jesus is speaking. And cooking dinner is a poor substitute for hearing Jesus. Let dinner get cold. But you don't understand, it's going to get cold. Let it get cold. Jesus is speaking. And here's what Jesus says. He presses home the point just in case you're doubtful here. Jesus says, Martha, there is one thing needful. One. Wonder what the one thing is. Cooking? Well, we're sort of clued in here what it is, right? Mary chose that. She chose the one thing that's needful. And Martha didn't. Jesus says there's one thing needful, and activity and service is not it. Do you get that? Activity, service is not the thing that is needful. Communion with Christ is the one thing that every child of God desperately needs and cannot do without. The reading of His Word, the hearing of His Word expounded and preached, that's what every child of God needs. You have to make it a priority. You have to. The danger for you and me, and the danger for Lakeview Baptist Church, is that we will depend on what we do and don't do rather than our desire and our love for Him and His Word. That we'll be a busy church, yet we won't take time to spend with God. We need to realize that your Christian life, and I do want you to listen to me very closely here, you need to realize, I need to realize, that our Christian life, our walk with Christ, is not about our achievement for Him, it's about our commitment to Him. Christianity is not about a long list of things you do. It's about a person whom you submit to. It's about a person whom you hear. It's about a person whom you love and you obey. It's about your relationship, commitment, and communion with Christ. And if you are not in the Word of God, reading and hearing the Word of God faithfully preached, you can't have communion with Him. It is about the quality of your relationship with Christ before it's about the quantity of your activity for Him. There are plenty of churches all around us that put the emphasis on do, do, do. But Jesus puts the emphasis on be, be, be. Be committed to Him. Have a committed relationship to Christ. That is how Christ corrects Martha. Can I say this? The Bible says that before we ask, Jesus knows what we need. I don't think we really know what we need. I can't find anywhere where the Bible says we really know what we need. What does Christ say we need? Him. Sitting at His feet. But you don't understand. I've got to cook a meal for tomorrow. Not if it means you have to miss sitting at His feet. But you don't understand. I've got to do this. Not if it means not sitting at His feet. The priorities have to be in order. Notice, secondly, here the commendation, because He commends Mary. Now, I'm figuring here Mary is going to be in some trouble with her sister Martha. If I'm her, if I'm Mary, I'm trying to get Jesus to go ahead and spend the night. Because if He's in the house, maybe Martha's not going to cause such a fuss. Because as soon as He leaves, Martha's going to say, I got something to say to you. But Christ commends her choice. She has chosen well. She chose the one thing needful. She chose that which would not be taken away from her, Christ says. Mary, you understand, Mary decided not to do something so that she may listen to the words of Jesus. Even if that meant that her sister would become angry with her. She chose the best part. Jesus was not concerned with what Mary was doing. He was concerned that she was spending time with Him. Did you know the best you can do, the very best you can do in any particular activity won't come close to comparing to what God said in His Word? Amen? Jesus says, "Well done, Mary, well done." Not for what you do, but for who you chose to listen to. The Bible says in the last days, people will say, "But Jesus, we did great things in Your name. We cast out demons in Your name." And Jesus says what? "I never knew you." Now be careful there, because knew doesn't necessarily mean that He had an intellectual knowledge of them. It means He never had a relationship with them. Do you know that you can serve God and not have a relationship with Him? "Mary, you have turned away from everything else so that you can avail yourself to hear Me. Well done. Well done." So look at Martha, distracted and disgruntled, but learn from Mary, who gives her undivided attention to the voice of Jesus. And listen to what Jesus says here to clarify the truth. The most important thing that you can do is the one thing that is needful, and that is listen to the voice of God through His Word. And nothing, nothing should usurp that. Nothing. Nothing else, this is what Jesus says, nothing else is really needful. No matter how much you say it's needful, one thing is needful: sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing His Word. And if we could ever get that, we'd have a house full, wouldn't we? We'd have a church full of people that come and sit at His feet instead of doing a million different things that they think is needful. Here's how I want to end this tonight. Imagine that you are a friend of Martha and Mary. And fast forward a little bit, we're at the day that Jesus is crucified on the cross. They have arrested Him. They have thrown Him through mock trials. They have beaten Him beyond recognition, and He is crucified on the cross. The Savior has died. Do you think Martha is thinking about the meal that she prepared for Him? Do you think she's thinking about the chicken and the baked beans and the mashed potatoes that she prepared for Him? Or do you think she's thinking about that lost opportunity that she had to sit at His feet in the fellowship with Him? Which one do you think she's thinking about? Do you think it was about her activity for Him, or the time that she spent with Him that was important when He's gone? You see, those words that Mary heard and the time that she spent at His feet, Jesus says, even when I'm gone, they can't take that away from you. They can't. After the meal is long gone, Mary still has that which is permanent. Do you think on the day that they buried Jesus that Martha wishes that she could have one more opportunity to cook another meal for Him? Or do you think she wishes she had one more evening that she could spend that time sitting at the feet of Jesus? We really don't know what our needs are. We really don't know what's really important, do we? But Jesus knows. And although many things are not wrong, there is only one thing that is needful. Time with Him. And any activity that we have must emerge from time spent with Him, or it's just empty activity. And all this activity that goes on in church while worship is going on is tradition, not Bible. I went to visit Randy Friday. Randy's not doing real good, and he's a little discouraged and a little depressed. And every time that I mentioned the church, his Sunday school class, or anybody here at the church, he immediately began to cry. You know why? He's not sure he's ever going to get back here. He's not sure he's ever going to be able to sit here again. He's not crying because he don't have another opportunity to do something. He's crying because he may not have another opportunity to sit at the feet of Christ and hear His Word preached again. I used to have a little old lady on my church in Virginia. She was all bent over and deformed by, what did she have? She had muscular dystrophy or something. She was all hunched over, couldn't get to church. I would go by her house, and each month she would get up out of her chair and she would make her way to her bedroom and get a check that she had written to the church for her tithes. And she would hand that to me and she would weep because she could not get to church. And here we are like Mary, with a great opportunity. We have the Word of God. We have a church where I trust that you understand the Word of God is being preached and taught. And yet, we have better things to do. And I tell you, we don't. We don't have anything better to do than sit at the feet of Christ and sit at the feet of God and say, "Speak, Lord. Speak through your word to me." And for that to change, we all have to change. And as I said this morning, when we change, when we make this a priority in our family, there will be disgruntled family members, right? But Jesus said, not Martha chose well. Jesus didn't even say, "I understand, Martha." He said, "Mary chose the best part. Mary chose the one thing needful, and Martha didn't." I trust the Lord will help us choose the right thing. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would use it to speak to our hearts, that we would make wise choices here, that we would choose the one needful thing, the one thing that God says is needful, the one thing that is sure that we need, communion with you, hearing from you, seeing you through your word daily and at church. And God, we know that there's a million things that are brought up and come between us and coming and hearing, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will cause us to make and choose the good part that will never be taken away. We thank you for your word and for those who are so faithful to hear. I love them, and I pray, God, that you would keep your hand upon them and bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.